This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So this is what this piece of furniture is for. What would you like to be when you grow up? What would you like to be when you grow up? It's a question that was probably asked of us when we were younger. It's a question we often throw to our children and grandchildren and even the children of friends. In fact, it's a question I asked of our school children a couple days ago in chapel when we were focused on the figure of John the Baptist. What do you want to be when you grow up? It is not a question that is limited by age. It may be common, but it's not necessarily a simple question because some of us are still trying to answer that question. Because of my artistic skills with painting and especially watercolor, some will say to me, hopefully jokingly, if you don't make it as a priest, you certainly could be an artist. I must admit, however, that there are times as I am still maturing and growing up that I have said or at least have thought, gosh, wouldn't it be great to be a seminary professor or even a chaplain at a seminary? Wouldn't it be great to be an artist and have my own gallery? Wouldn't it be neat to be able to write books on spirituality of children in relationship to parents, and then be able to have a lecture cycle to teach? Better yet, wouldn't it be wonderful to own again a bed and breakfast inn and practice hospitality with wonderful guests and great food? In some ways, these may be fantasies, silly or unrealistic. But on another level, they point to the assumption that we are responsible for creating the life we want. Let me say that again. The assumption that we are responsible for the life that we want. Look at your relationships. Look at your friendships, your family, your commitments, your marriage. Look at your jobs, your careers, your education, your home. Indeed, all of these are attempts for us to create our own life. Now, there is not necessarily something wrong in doing this, because we know that opportunities are always coming before us, and we do need to make choices as to what path are we going to travel. The difficulty, however, comes when we start to believe that we carry the burden, that we are the ultimate creator and master of our life. That is when the problem begins. This is exactly what is portrayed in our first reading this morning with King David in the Old Testament, who decided because he lived in a house of cedar, this grand palace, and God is still living in the tabernacle in a tent, that he needs to do something about that. God deserves more. But God convinced David that he does not want a house, that he does not want a temple built for him in Jerusalem. Even though David was convinced that was his calling, God said no. And God reminded David that God is the creator and the source of all life. And that's the way it has been ever since the beginning. For in the beginning, God simply would speak and command, and it happened. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let there be sky, and let there be dry land. Let there be trees and vegetation. Let there be fishes in the seas and birds in the air. Let there be a sun and a moon. Let there be creatures Let there be mankind made in our own image and in our own likeness. God said, let it be, and things happened. God at work, as God was in the creation stories that we have from Genesis, is the bigger context by which we need to approach the gospel reading today that we often refer to as the Annunciation of Mary. In this story, God is speaking a creative word. And something incredible, something magnificent, something beyond our comprehension and grasp always happens when God speaks. Today, with this fourth Sunday of Advent, we remember the words of Mary. Very specifically, these words, let it be. Let it be for me according to your word. It is interesting to note that Mary's words echo God's words in the beginning. Let there be. It is like there is this ongoing call and response between our Creator God and humanity. Because God is praying in a new creation into existence. And Mary responds, Amen, let it be for me according to thy word. A lot of times in our thinking, because of the gift of Christ coming and being the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, we begin to think that this is the end of God's creative responsibilities. But that is not so. Because in the incarnation, there is a new creation, a new covenant, a new way that God is going to bring us salvation. A new door opens to bring us that life that God has desired for us from the very beginning when he created us. A life that truly brings hope in light of a crumbling, evil, sinful world around us. A life that truly brings peace, shalom, that the world cannot offer to us as much as we try to manipulate the world to find peace. A life that brings true and everlasting joy because of Christ being in our lives and the relationships we are blessed to have. And lastly, the gift of love. Love that has transformed us into being vehicles of love also. There is a new creation and a beginning of the true salvation that occurs in the incarnation. Think about it. God says, let there be. And that word simply brings forth vegetation and creatures, living things into existence. And Mary says, let it be. And her words bring forth a new and truer source of life, everlasting life for the world. How amazing is that gift? God is able to take the form of Jesus, true human flesh and blood, and because of Mary's humanity, God has that possibility of creating new life. And this could only happen because of Mary's willingness to respond. Let it be for me according to your word. Her gift to God is her humanity, and through her, our humanity. The incarnation of God in Jesus Christ is not limited just to Mary. It is an affirmation of God's creation and the goodness that is in each human being. God is choosing flesh, not a house of cedar, not a grand temple in Jerusalem as a place where God will dwell. He chooses flesh. And each one of us stands as a favored one with God. Each of us has been called in holy baptism to grow into being God bearers, to carry God in our own humanity, and to bring it to the world. Mary is a part of us in this story. She is a part of us that is womb-like, a part that is giving birth of Christ to the world, as we are called to do likewise. If we reject this story and Mary, then we are saying no to God. If we reject Mary and the miracle of the incarnation, then we are rejecting the Holy of Holies that desires to reside in us. For us to reject Mary is to put an end to the story of creation and the salvation that our lives cry out for. But to love and to honor Mary is to discover the life that God is creating in us, and to discover that this is the life we are called to when we grow up. Mary is teaching us to say yes to God's plan. Each of us is an echo of Mary's words in our own daily living. Let it be. God, let it be for me according to your word. These words are not words about just being passive, this que sera, sera attitude. Rather, it is calling us to something exciting, something dynamic, where despite the fact that we are called to be vulnerable, to be open, and to be receptive to a power that is beyond our control, we are inviting God to work in and through us. God, who can do more amazing things with us than we could ever possibly imagine. 10 years ago, I was invited to apply to be the chaplain at St. Joseph's Episcopal School, as Reverend Wendy, at the time, Chaplain Wendy Tobias, had resigned to go to seminary. I didn't know if I had the gift and the calling to minister to children. Certainly, I have worked with children through my ministries, but to focus so much time and energy on children, could I do that? By letting it be, by putting it into God's hands, through it I became more blessed than words could possibly express. Who would ever believe that children would be teaching me how to be a person of faith? That children would be teaching me to be a man of God? Let it be means that we let down the walls, the barriers, the obstacles of fears and objection that separate us from God. Just as Mary threw up a roadblock and used her virginity as an excuse and a wall of separation. How can this be? She says to the angel, I am a virgin. I've never known a man. But Mary's virginity cannot be an obstacle to separate God from humanity. And the archangel Gabriel confirmed that when he said to Mary, nothing is impossible with our God. We all live with obstacles that separate us from God. Walls of fear, walls of shame and guilt, addictions, bad habits, perhaps uncontrollable and destructive anger. A sense of individualism and independence that become obstacles that make us isolated. Sometimes it's our logic and our rationalism and our selfishness that is the obstacle. Even an unwillingness to abandon ourselves to what we cannot understand, to let go and to let it be, to surrender ourselves to the mystery of something that is greater than we are. God's love and God's power. often that which separates us from God is what we have created for ourselves as we strive to be masters of our lives and serve ourselves. But thanks be to God, the good news we hear today is that God destroys all the walls and all the obstacles that we create. God is able to see through all of them and see each and every one of us as a favored child. Because God has chosen you in baptism. And even when we are unable to recognize and see that kind of hope and that promise that exists in each of us, God's words of possibility break through again and again. And by destroying those walls and stepping over those obstacles, God announces to us that God is with us. And that what he conceives in us is his will for our lives. God, thank heavens, is always stepping over our barriers and our walls and choosing to dwell in our flesh. Mary's words may echo ours. How can this be? But with these words, Mary acknowledges that the life that Gabriel is announcing to her is not a life that she controls and is creating. She is surrendering to God. Let it be for me according to your word. And with these words, Mary receives life, the life that God wishes to create in and through her. And so between this, how can this be, that she asks in the very beginning, to finally saying, let it be, the impossible becomes reality. The never before heard of will be forever spoken. And the division between divinity and humanity is destroyed. You may offer all kinds of excuses and obstacles as to why this may not be true for you, that God desires to live in and through you. But Gabriel will tell you differently. As he said to the virgin, he says to us, nothing, nothing is impossible with God. And so as we approach this Christmas and the celebration of the coming of Christ, let it be for you according to God's word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.